Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Now, here's the date today, 2-22-21. How about that? 1, 2, 3, 4 twos in the date today, and 1, number 1. Now, next year, 2-22-22. How about that? Well, that'll all give us something to look forward to. That's one of those palindromes, isn't it? Where the date is the same forward and backward. I think that'll be a palindrome, 2-22-22. I'm not sure if we have a palindrome this year. I don't think so, because everything will start with 1. So no palindromes this year, but next year, February 22nd will be a palindrome. 14 and a half minutes past the hour, and away we go. A much more subdued Monday this week. And boy, what a difference a week makes. What a difference a couple days make. Now, last Monday, we were in the studio, and we had had some snow, and we were all preparing for a horrible snowstorm that was to come last Monday night. And it did. A big one. I think it dropped about 10 inches in the final count, and then we had another snowstorm on Thursday morning that probably dropped another couple inches. But this week, what is it doing on Monday? It is raining, which means it's above 32 degrees, and looking at the weather report this morning, just temperature-wise, we're not going to drop below freezing very much this week at all, even overnight. I don't think there's any day where we're going to be below freezing at this point. But, of course, the weather changes every 5 minutes. But right now, the model is, for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 days, every day we will be above freezing. And at night, if we go below freezing, if we go into the 20s, it's the high 20s. It's not certainly what it has been. And Saturday, just a couple days ago, 48 hours ago, I believe we were down to 5 degrees overnight. So maybe that was the last cold snap of the winter of 2021 and this month of February, which has been particularly cold. And it's funny this morning because I park in a garage, and of course the car's just been caked up with snow and salt because you drive on the roads. And so, you know how cars look when they get caked up with snow and salt. And the rain comes this morning, and it wipes all that away. So the car looks good this morning. Now, of course, you don't want to let your car just be washed by rainwater. But when it comes after many, many days of snow like that and salt, it does make a big difference when you look at the car. And that was just from the drive from where I live to here this morning, and so much warmer. Not freezing to death, seeing your breath when you open up the window in the car. So that's nice. But of course, now we're going to have to worry about flooding, and I really don't know what the repercussions of this are going to be, because it's raining, which means that's going to add to the flooding. Plus, we've probably got, From the first storm in February, we've probably got about 10 inches left from that. And then we've got 10 inches from the storm last week. And then 2 more inches, give or take, from the storm that happened late last week. So we're talking anywhere between 18 and 22 inches that are probably on the ground. And these big snow mounds that are piled up where plows had to plow parking lots and plow streets. You know, when this all starts to melt with rain on top of it, this is going to be a mess, because we have not had snow like this. I don't know when the last time. I know we have not had cold like this since 2015. I believe 2014-2015 was the last winter when we had cold like this. But snow accumulations in 1 month of over 20 inches, I don't know the last time that that happened. If anybody remembers, give me a buzz. Or what do you think's going to happen now with the rain coming in and the snow starting to melt, and as I say, not getting below freezing very often in the upcoming days, is also going to contribute to that. The snow will melt slowly but surely, as they say. 740-383-9944. That's the phone number here. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss anything. We can discuss that or anything else that's on your mind, by the way. The phone lines will be open here all morning this morning. It's always fun to have a conversation, no matter what is on your mind. Now, this past weekend, I had a very fun weekend. I went back down to the North Market, and I think that I must have sort of a block with the North Market. I love the area, and I have been inside, and I like the shops. But here's the problem. There are two shops in there that stick out to me very heavily. Number one, there is a soft pretzel shop in there that has very affordable, big, soft pretzels. And there is also a donut shop in there, which has some of the best-looking donuts I've ever seen. Now, how do they taste? I really don't know. How do these pretzels taste? I really don't know. Because here's why. Here's the answer to this. Now, the first time I went to the North Market was back in January. I had went down on a Sunday to cover, do you remember the protests that were supposed to happen at the State House? I went down to cover those, and everything in downtown Columbus was pretty well closed up on that particular Sunday. So, when we were done covering that protest, the closest thing that was really open was the North Market. So we go over to the North Market, and that was really the first time I'd ever been inside of it, and I see the pretzels, and I see the donuts, and I thought, wow, these are great, but we were kind of in a hurry to get back to Marion that day, so we didn't buy any, but thought, oh, we'll be back very soon. So that was also the first day that we discovered the Kazoo Man, who performs at the North Market every weekend. So we come back on that Sunday, and I call Kazoo Man, and I say, hey, can we come down and do an interview with you? Because I think National Kazoo Day was like 10 days away at that point. So the following weekend, we went back down to Columbus, another weekend in January, and interviewed the Kazoo Man. Now, every intention on that day was to go in and get some of these donuts and get some of these soft pretzels. But the North Market closes at 6 o'clock. And we got there a little later in the day because the Kazoo Man performs outside of the North Market, and he had to finish up his performance before we could do the interview. So by the time we were done with the interview with the Kazoo Man, the donut shop in the pretzel shop had closed up for the day. Now, even though it wasn't 6 o'clock, some shops do close up a little earlier than 6 o'clock. So did not get any donuts, did not get any pretzels that day. So then we took a little break from the North Market until this past weekend, because it was time to go down and tape an interview with Ted Williams, and he lives in Columbus, of course, and we thought we would incorporate the Kazoo Man into this because a month ago he was a really great guest, really good guy. So we go down there to interview the Kazoo Man and Ted Williams, and of course it was on Saturday, which was freezing, freezing cold, and we had to do these interviews outside because the Kazoo Man performs, and it's a little louder, and of course you don't want to do that inside of the North Market. without permission. So we're taping the interviews with Ted and Kazoo Man outside, and again, it went a little longer than what we had suspected. So again, by the time we were getting ready to leave. Now, I will say this. The North Market was still open this past weekend when we were leaving, but everybody was so frozen to the bone from standing outside, taping these interviews, that nobody wanted to get out of the heated car to go back in to see if the donuts or the soft pretzels were available. So three times to the North Market in the last month and a half, and no donuts, no soft pretzels. Now, I will tell you that I'm not the biggest fan in the world of donuts, to be honest with you. Donuts are not something I really ever buy. They're not something I get in the morning for breakfast. I'm just, donuts are okay. I don't dislike them, but I'm not in love with a donut. But these donuts at the North Market look so different. I'm just curious as to how they taste. So that's what that's all about. And I do like the soft pretzels because, you know, those can be screwed up really easily when cooking them. A lot of people cook them. I know they come in a box now and you kind of wet them down and you put them in the microwave and you put the salt on them that way. Now, those are okay, but they really, to me, don't taste like the soft pretzels that you get when you buy them at a shop. So, saying all that to say this is, I've been to the North Market three times in a month and a half and have not been to the donut shop yet and have not been to the pretzel shop, soft pretzel shop, yet either. I have seen them. I have walked past them just about every time I've been in there, but have not had time to stop and get a taste. So there you go. That's my story. Did anybody do anything interesting over the weekend? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's my drama from over the weekend. And, you know, if that's all the drama you have over the weekend, that's not a bad weekend. That's not very dramatic that I just did not get to the donuts or the soft pretzels. But I'll tell you, it was cold. Holy mackerel. And I was telling somebody, you know, you videotape these interviews, and you audiotape these interviews, and you take pictures while you're doing these interviews. And when you look back at them weeks or months or even years later, you don't remember how cold it was. You just remember doing the interview. But when you're there, my goodness, is it cold to sit outside and do that, because you're not really all bundled up. I mean, you're not with a coat and a hat and a gloves and all of that, because you're trying to do an interview. You've kind of got to work the equipment, and you know people are taking pictures and videos being taken, so you really don't bundle up like you should. Which this brings up a question. And this is a question I've wanted to ask for a long time here on this show, because there is something going on this winter that I find very interesting, and I think it has to do with the pandemic. Now, of course, this is the first year, I think, in modern history that, pretty much 100% of the people who are going in public places are wearing masks, certainly here in Ohio, because we have the mask mandate. But you know what I've noticed? People do not seem to be getting the flu. People do not seem to be getting colds. People do not seem to be getting sore throats. You know, we are almost to spring. Spring is now less than a month away. Spring is on March the 21st. We have now been in winter since December 21st, and usually people start catching colds and flu and get bronchitis and sore throats. That usually starts somewhere in October. So we've had October, November, December, January, and now most all of February, and I am hardly seeing any of this. And normally you see a ton of it. And even myself, you know, I haven't had the flu for a while. You know, every time you say these things, you want to knock on wood. I have not had the flu for a while, but usually every winter at some point I'll get a cold, or I'll get a sore throat, or I'll get maybe a fever. I'll get something. This winter, I don't remember getting any of those things at all. And some winters, I'll get them more than once. And that's funny to me, because normally what I do is I'll take some kind of over-the-counter medication, or I'll take some kind of antibiotic when I get that, so I can try to stop it before it develops into something heavy. Sometimes you catch it, sometimes you don't. But this year, this is how I notice, because I have not had to buy any over-the-counter cold medications. I have not had to buy any... I've not had to get any antibiotics prescribed to me. I've not had to do any of that. And here we are on February 22nd. I'm shocked. I mean, even if I got one of those things now, look how long I made it without getting any of these things. Now, I'm wondering, is it the masks? Is it because people are cleaning their hands more often? Were we just a far more germ-driven society before this pandemic? You know, also, people would hug, people would kiss, people would shake hands, people would do all these things that transmit germs. Well, people aren't doing so much of that right now. And I wonder if because of this, the flu and colds in general, the common cold, and sore throats and all of that have went down because of what we're doing, wearing the masks and keeping a little distance from other people. Has anybody else noticed this? Are you somebody who normally gets a cold or a sore throat or gets the flu every year, a bronchitis, and this year you have gotten none of this? Is it just me? Or is anybody else like this? Also, even if you haven't had this issue that I'm having, do you have any reasoning for it? The only reasoning I can come up with is the masks. I don't know what else has stopped it all. Or has anybody else out there gotten these things? The flu and the cold and the sore throat and the bronchitis. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly would love to hear from you on this topic, because this is fascinating, because we would get flu shots before and we would take these over-the-counter medications for colds and everything like that, but we never thought about wearing masks, never thought about sanitizing our hands all the time, never thought about social distancing ourselves from people. Was that really what we have needed to do all along to avoid the common cold, to avoid the flu, to avoid all of this stuff that is transmitted by germs? I don't know. Has anybody even heard much of the common cold this year? Have you ran into people who have the sniffles, you know, buying Kleenex and things like that? I have hardly seen or heard any of that within my own family, within my own group of friends. Nothing. And it happens almost every year. Does anybody have anything to say about that? I think that's fascinating. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Maybe everybody's out enjoying the rain today. Enjoying the rain that is falling instead of the snow. Much better than last week. And no Arctic temperatures like there have been as of late. Oh, also on the Friday night show, as many of you know, last weekend, went over to real Amish country, Mary's Bakery, and I think it was called the Mast General Store or something of that nature, over at Piper Station in Hardin County. Now, here's the problem. There were some people who wanted to go over to Mary's place. And apparently how to get to Mary's Amish store has become a mystery. Because I guess TV 39 gets a lot of stuff donated from there for their auctions, but they don't really ever tell you how to get to Mary's. And when you type it into Google, and I know this after going over there, when you type it into Google, they give you the wrong address. Now, it's not far from Mary's, but it is the wrong address. It will lead you to the wrong place. And on Friday, we were trying to give directions on how to get to Mary's, and I ran into one of our listeners yesterday who said they tried to go over there this past weekend and could not find it based upon the directions we had given. So I'm trying to think of the easiest way to figure out how to get to Mary's Amish store over in Hardin County. Now, what I know for sure is the road you come in on, there is a general store, Pfeiffer Station General Store, is at the end of that road. There's a stop sign. And when you get to that stop sign, right across the street is the Pfeiffer Station General Store. Now, if you go that far, you've went too far. You've driven past Mary's. So what you would have to do is turn back around and go backwards on that road, and Mary's is probably about half a mile down on the left. And it's basically some barns, big red barns, and then Mary's is out there in the front, and what it looks like a house, a little red house. And there is a little sign out front, and it looks like a yard sale sign that says something like fresh baked goods or something of that nature. Now, that's how I would explain it. Now, if you're coming from the Pfeiffer Station General Store, Mary's would be on the left. If you're going toward the Pfeiffer Station General Store, Mary's would be on the right. But I cannot remember what road that is. I know it's not 309. I know you take 309 quite a ways over there. I know you get on 309 and you go toward Hardin County. But there is another road that you get off on before you get to Pfeiffer Station. Now, I cannot remember what road that is. Now, can anybody give good directions on how to get to Mary's Amish store over in Pfeiffer Station? That's what we're looking toward, because if I can remember what road that is, because I think we were only on two different roads as we left Marion. I think we took 309 to another road, and then that road took us all the way in to Pfeiffer Station. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? Caller.
Is it Wildcat Pike?
Well, see, I don't think it was Wildcat Pike, because people say they have... We had somebody call in Friday night who said they took Wildcat Pike, but I don't... See, because it's like a four-way stop there, and depending on which road you come in on is going to depend on how you get to her store, but I don't think we came in on Wildcat Pike.
Wildcat comes in right before, when you make that turn, before you get to Pleasant Hill. You know, you make the right, the curve to the right to go 309, and Wildcat Pike goes straight ahead.
Well, what I remember, I remember getting on 309, and of course we went over the tracks, and we went through Big Island. So we go through Big Island, and then there was a road that we did have to turn off on. And I cannot remember what road it was.
That was probably Wildcat Pike.
Now,
unless it's the Cliff Le Roux or the Cliff Big Island, one of the two.
Now, have you ever been over to Mary's?
Oh, been years ago. Been years ago.
I'm just trying. I know the road we took in. If you go to the end of the road, there's a stop sign, and the general store is right in front of you at the end of that stop sign. But
you
don't
go past the general store on Wildcat Pike.
See, then I think we didn't come on Wildcat Pike, because Well, that four-way stop, no matter which way you come, you're going to pass the general store. So I'm not sure which road on that four-way stop is Wildcat Pike. And I'm not sure which road we came in on.
Well, there's several roads over there. There's the Cliff Lay Road, the Cliff Big Island, all different kinds. You have to get a map and look at it.
Well, I'll have to. The reason I'm trying to remember the road I came in on, because the road I came in on is the road that Mary's is on.
Well, that's Piper Station Road, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so, because
the Piper Station Road comes off of 309.
Well, then I don't think it's... I don't remember it being that. Because I know the first time... Because, see, they have the... This is why this is a mystery. Usually, we just go to the Internet. But the problem is the Internet has her address wrong. And this is how I learned it. Because when we went over there, if you go to the address that's on Google, it's not her. You'll drive right past her, and it'll put you in Piper Station. And if you get to Piper Station General Store, you've went too far.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I gotta go.
Okay, well, thanks.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty, bye.
All right, does anybody have any directions on how to get to Mary's? Okay, well, 740-383-9944. Mary's Amish Store, which is very popular in this area, apparently. First time I'd been over there was a couple weeks ago, but okay, let me see here. Here's the directions that we took. So this will tell you how we got there, and I'll find the road here. Okay. We got on 309 West. 309 West for 19 miles. Okay, County Road 265 must be the... Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
It's me.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Okay, this is official.
All right.
I have Mary's business card in my hand.
Oh, all right.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Good. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
It's Mary's Amish Market. The address is 12813 County Road 265.
That must have been the road we took in, 265.
The sign at that road, it says to Piper Station. You know, it's one of those road signs, Piper Station, turn and go left. It's the fifth house on the right.
And what is that little sign? Does it say fresh baked goods out front?
Something. Most of the Amish farms have that on there, you know, little signs. But it's got, you know, the big red barns and big white house and then that little market there in the parking lot. Her name is Mary Slaybaugh, S-L-A-B-A-U-G-H.
Mary Slaybaugh. Well, it's interesting because if you do Google it, it gives you 31506 County Road.
That's the wrong address.
And it is the wrong. And she knows it because when we were in there, it was brought up to her that, hey, you know, it was kind of hard to find this place because the address is wrong. And she said, yeah, I know it's wrong.
She has no way of contacting those people. She
right.
She doesn't have any telephone.
Right. I mean, I wonder how that got all screwed up, because she definitely shows up in Google, but I don't know why at the wrong address.
Well, this is her business card. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Closed on Wednesday and Sunday.
Now, how do you go over there?
Well, I just go out 309. Cross into Hardin County. It's about roughly three miles from the county line. And there's, you know, the sign, there's road signs, Route 265, County Road. There's houses on that corner. And that's the easiest way. Or you could go Wildcat Pike to Piper Station to the general store and turn right. And it's about a mile. Of course, it'd be on the left, then, if you're coming from that direction.
Now, everybody calls it Wildcat Pike, but doesn't it have a... Isn't it actually a road number?
It is, but I don't have that written down here.
Yeah. So I did not take Wildcat Pike in. I just took 309 to 265, and she's on 265.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about a mile from 309, just almost a mile exactly to her house.
Yeah. So it's not very, very confusing because, you know, it's, I think you're about 20 miles on 309 west, obviously, and then you turn left onto 265, and she's about mile, 2 miles. It's somewhere between a mile and 2 miles down there on the right.
Just a mile. Because it's about a mile and a half to Pfeiffer Station.
Right. Because if you get to the general store, you've gone too far.
You have driven by her house.
Right. Right.
If you, when you get on 265, it's almost exactly a mile to her house. And you can't miss it. I mean, it's the biggest... It's the biggest farm on that road between 309 and... There's usually horses out in the barnyard and the buggies and, you know, there's no mistake about it.
Yeah, big red... are there two big red barns? Was it,
right, yeah, there's two big red... And a big house, big white house.
Big white house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there, and if you look really close, because it'll be on the right-hand side of the road, if you're going down 265, there is a sign out front that does say fresh baked goods or something.
Sure there is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a big sign, but just, yeah, there's a sign.
Now, have you been over there recently?
Oh, I'd say 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks. Now, how would you describe what is it she does that has become so popular? What is she doing different than other Amish shops and things like that?
She has, of course, she does her baking. She makes candy. She has jams and jellies and a huge, huge selection of cheese. And she gets her cheese from the Gugusburg in Millersburg, that cheese factory in over in Amish country.
Oh, that's interesting.
One example, because I buy a lot of cheese. I like the farmer's cheese and their hot pepper, their horseradish cheese and all kinds. But her prices are very low.
Well, yeah, $6 a pie, I was...
Yeah, that's... You can't get a pie like that for $6 anywhere.
Now, know? I don't remember asking her, how much is one of those big loaves of bread?
They're not really expensive. We got a loaf of, $2, give or take.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to go into. Now, you know what I was surprised, though, by? You know, do the Amish have to abide by the rules that are going on in society right now? Like the COVID rules. I noticed everybody who was going into the shop was wearing a mask, but I don't remember if they were or not.
Yeah, I don't think they were, if I think about it.
Yeah, they might not have been.
Come up more, but I really don't know what their position is as a group, you know, what their position is on the COVID, hard to tell.
Now, have you ever been over to the masked store that's in that same area?
No, I've been in the general store at Pfeiffer Station, but
now,
I've never been in that.
Now, I went over to the mask store, which is probably 5 miles from there, and that's an interesting place, too. They have similar things. They don't have the bread. Now, they did have pies, but they only have pies, I think she said, there's a pie sale on a certain day or something like that. But they had a lot of interesting things in there, like I think what we ended up buying there was some iced cookies. And what I noticed was what it tastes like is that they cook with a lot of nutmeg.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, hey, I appreciate the address. Thank you.
Okay, all righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right here. Well, now, okay, so here's how you do it. This is, to me, the easiest way, because this is going to put you on the road that Mary's is on. You get on 309 and you go west, like you're going over toward Hardin County, because you are. And you go for about 20 miles. And at 20 miles, you turn, I believe, I'm going to look at this just so I get it right, you turn left onto County Road 265. Left onto County Road 265 off of 309. Now, 265 is the road she's on. So, if you're traveling down County Road 265, she's going to be on the right. About a, the caller said a mile, you know, it's somewhere in that area. Start looking. At about a mile down, you're going to see two big red barns, and then you're going to see a smaller, it looks like red shop, house. It doesn't look like the shops we would see here in Marion, but they're going to be there, and a lot of times you're going to see cars parked outside because other people are shopping in there. But there is a small sign in the front that looks like one of the yard sale signs that we set up in our yards that says Fresh Baked Goods. And it's right there on the right on 265. Now, if you see the general store, you've went too far. It's before the general store. It's about half a mile before the general store. So if you get to the general store, turn around. Go back down 265 because you've went too far if you see the Pfeiffer Station general store. Now, I will repeat the exact address to put in there. The address on Google is wrong. But here it is. 12813. Those are the numbers you want to remember. Those are the numbers that are wrong on Google. It gives you something different. But the actual numbers are 12813 County Road 265. If you get on County Road 265, you're going to find this place. But you got to look for the red barns, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to see people working outside with their buggies and horses and things like that. They were that day I was over there, and it was a cold, cold day. So that's how you find it. But the easiest way, in my opinion, we all know where 309 is. Get on 309, going toward Hardin County, stay on it for 20 miles, that puts you almost right over there, hang a left onto County Road 265, and about a mile down that road, start looking on your right, she's on the right side of the road, there are like two big red barns and then this little red sort of store, and there is a tiny sign out there that you can miss that says Fresh Baked Goods. And that's how you get to Mary's Amish Market. All right. We had a request for that online, and now they say thank you. Well, you are welcome. That's how you do it. So does that clear up all the questions? Now, anybody who is having problems with this, does that clear up the problem that has been made? The Wildcat, I'm sure people do take Wildcat Pike over there, and if you know where it is, that's probably an easy way to find it. Once you find it, you know where it is. But I don't know that Wildcat Pike is the easiest way to find it. At least it wasn't for me. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. 740-383-9944. If you got anything to add to this, 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say about the ever-popular Mary's Amish Market or Amish food in general? I don't know that we've ever had a discussion about that. They do cook with different things than we seem to cook with. Now, I don't know why that is. To me, the cookies taste very nutmeggy, like there's a lot of nutmeg in them. And I don't know what that's all about in general. But it's a thing. Go ahead, caller.
Hey there.
Hey.
About the address being wrong in Google, you can actually send a request to Google to correct that. The only reason I know is my husband and I owned a pizza shop. And our old, we had moved addresses for the shop, and it kept showing our old one. And we sent a request. I can't remember exactly the process. You know, if you go into Google, I'm sure you can find it, but sounds like maybe she needs to do that.
Yeah, I was just confused because I hear so many people talk about this particular shop, and to have it entered wrong in Google, I bet is sending people all over because there is no sign that says Mary's Amish Market. There's just this tiny little sign out front that says Fresh Baked Goods. And it's even hard to see as you're driving down 265.
Yeah, And I would imagine she probably, I don't think the Amish use the internet. I don't really know, but maybe that's why it's never been changed. But maybe I'll go on and see if I can submit a change.
Well, I'm sure she and a whole lot of other people would appreciate it, because it confuses you, because the address it gives you is actually just like a little, what should I say? It's not even a farmhouse. It's kind of like a ranch house, and it's on the corner. And on that particular corner, it's the corner of where all the roads come into Pfeiffer Station, like Wildcat Pike and 265. And it's... there are some houses there. There are probably 4 or 5, 6 houses there, and the Pfeiffer Station General Store, and I think another red barn. And so if you get to that point where it's telling you to go, it's not there, but you don't know what it looks like in the first place if you've never been there.
Right,
so it's very confusing.
Yeah. Can you give me the correct address? The person just called in and gave off the business card.
Yeah, it's 12813 County Road 265.
265. And is that considered Kenton? Where exactly is that?
I think that's considered to be in Kenton. I know it's in Hardin County, but I'm pretty sure they consider Pfeiffer Station to be in Kenton.
Okay. I'll go into Google and see if maybe I can submit a request to correct that, because it sounds like she may not have that access or may not know how, so I'll see if I can figure that out.
Absolutely. Now, as far, like I said, the cookies I tasted taste like nutmeg. Now, do you know a lot of people who cook with a lot of nutmeg? I'd never heard of nutmeg in cookies.
That's interesting. Was it like a spice type of cookie?
No, it was a kind of just a sugar cookie with icing on top.
That's new to me. That's interesting. I mean, was it good?
It was good, but you could definitely taste the nutmeg. And I was wondering, I wonder if they do that so it tastes different than something you would buy in a box store, or if they just like
set her apart, maybe.
Yeah, or if they just do it because they like to cook with nutmeg, because I don't think we use nutmeg in a whole lot anymore.
No, especially in cookies. I've gone to Amish country in eastern Ohio, and bought no baked goods, and they were just regular soft sugar cookies. I don't remember that, so maybe it's just her way of setting herself apart from others.
It could be, and I'll tell you something else interesting. Now, she had something over there called turtles. Now, I could tell from the container they were in that they were not shaped like turtles, turtle candy, like
right.
We would normally see here, because turtle candy here is shaped like turtles. Now, they were like little blocks. Now, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've had a turtle, but somebody who likes turtle candy I know had a couple of these and remarked that they really don't taste like turtles. So I don't know if a turtle to the Amish community, I don't know if that's different than what we would consider a turtle or not, but I know that they were bought on the idea that this is turtle candy.
Again, maybe that's just her way of making things different. Did it have the same kind of basic ingredients, the caramel, the pecans, that kind of thing?
Well, I know there was caramel in it, and I know it was chocolate, obviously, but I don't know if there were any pecans in it. I don't, or nuts, or coconut, or anything, the way people tend to do their turtles. And So I'm not sure, but it did say turtle candy on the container. Now, they had Buckeyes. Now, those pretty well taste like anybody's Buckeyes, and that's what they were. But a lot cheaper than what you would... why are Buckeyes... Now, this is something I've always wondered. When you go into a store to buy already made Buckeyes, why is that price so high?
The only thing I can think of, I've made dozens and dozens of Buckeyes every holiday. They're just, other than the butter in them, and the chocolate to dip in, they're not really that expensive to make, but they're labor intensive. You know, you have to roll the balls, let them cool, harden, dip them, let that sit. So that's the only thing that I can figure out. They're just a little bit labor intensive.
It must be, because when I, over Christmas, because they usually sell Buckeyes with like Ohio State stuff, and
yeah.
I was looking at the Ohio State stuff, and I saw these little, you know, containers of Buckeyes, and there were maybe 15 to 20 Buckeyes in the container, and these things were like $8, $10, $12, and I thought, holy mackerel. I mean, we're talking almost 75 cents a Buckeye here.
Yeah, and I've seen them go more than that. I think I was in line at Gordon Foods, and they had some in the checkout, and I'm pretty sure they were over a dollar a piece, and I was like, ow.
But, you know, I want...
people that I give Buckeyes to every year better be grateful.
Well, that's right. Do people... I mean, my goodness, is this one of those things that people could actually sell for a dollar? I don't know. Maybe it is because... Maybe it's like no-bake cookies, because I have noticed this, that people will attempt a lot of things. They'll attempt sugar cookies. They'll attempt chocolate chip. They'll attempt oatmeal raisin. But if you've had a bad experience with no-bake cookies, or you've had a bad experience with Buckeyes and wasted all those ingredients and it
yes.
did not turn out well, you will ask somebody who knows how to do it for you. Or I've noticed that the stores have started to sell Buckeyes and no-bake cookies, and they are sold at a very high price.
And no-bakes are one of those things you kind of have to time the cooking just right. I've learned by past mistakes that if you don't time it just right, they're not going to set, or they're going to be too crumbly. So if you don't do it just, you know, let it boil for like a minute, they won't turn out. And I think people just give up, which I understand. It's frustrating, but it's doable.
It's doable. Well, hopefully the price comes down for those who can't make them.
I agree. Everybody loves a no-bake.
That's right. Hey, thanks for calling.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to break here in 30 seconds for about 15 minutes. We've got news, weather coming up, and then we'll be back on the other side for another hour here. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp this morning as well, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Voice of a People with Linda Sims today, 4:15 to 5. And the Mike Wilson Show tonight on this station, 5:15 until 6 p.m. We'll be back in 15 minutes to talk about everything else we've been talking about. Some more. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
Trump does get in. What kind